obeisances.
Vishuddha Sattvaya.
Unto you whose existence is free from all material influence.
Harike.
Who takes away all miserable conditions of devotees.
Harimedase.
Whose brain works only
for the deliverance of the conditioned soul.
Vasudevaya. The all-pervading Supreme Personality of Godhead.
Krishnaya.
Unto Krishna.
Prabhave.
Who increases the influence.
Sarvasattvatam.
Of all kinds of devotees. Translation, Dear Lord, we offer our respectful obeisances unto you because your existence is completely independent of all material influences. Your Lordship always takes away the devotee's miserable conditions, for your brain plans how to do so. You live everywhere as Paramatma, therefore you are known as Vasudeva. You also accept Vasudeva as your father, and you are celebrated by the name Krishna. You are so kind that you always increase the influence of all kinds of devotees. So, purport. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Excuse me. In the previous verse, it has been said, Grihita Maya Guna Vigrahaya, that the Lord accepts three kinds of bodies, Vishnu, Brahma, and Shiva, for the purposes of creating, maintaining, and annihilating the cosmic manifestation. The three predominating deities of the material existence, material universe, Brahma, Vishnu, and Shiva, are called Guna Avataras. There are many kinds of incarnations of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and the first incarnations within this material world are Brahma, Vishnu, and Maheshwara, Shiva. Out of these three, Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva accept material bodies. But Lord Vishnu does not accept a material body. Lord Vishnu is therefore known as Vishuddha Sattva. His existence is completely free from the contamination of the material modes of nature. One should therefore not think that Lord Vishnu is in the same category with Lord Brahma and Shiva. The Shastras forbid us to think in this way. Yastu Narayanam Devam Brahma Rudra Didai Vatahai Samatvenaiva Vikshita Sapashandi Bhavet Dhruvam. One who considers Lord Vishnu to be in the same category with devas like Lord Brahma or Lord Shiva, or thinks Lord Brahma and Shiva to be equal to Lord Vishnu, is to be considered as Pashandi, a faithless non-believer. Therefore, in this verse, Lord Vishnu is distinguished in the words Namo Vishuddha Sattvaya. Although a living entity like us, Lord Brahma is exalted due to his pious activities. Therefore, he is given the highest post of Brahma. Lord Shiva is not actually like a living entity, but he is not the Supreme Personality of Godhead. His position is somewhere between Vishnu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and Brahma, the living entity. Lord Shiva is therefore explained in Brahma Samhita, the fifth chapter, text 45, in this way. Shiram yata dadi vikara vishesha yogat sanjayate nahi tata pritagasti heto yaksam utam apitata samupaiti karyat govindamadi purusham tamaham bhajami. Lord Shiva is considered to be like yogurt, the dadi. Yogurt is nothing but transformed milk. Nonetheless, yogurt cannot be accepted as milk. Similarly, Lord Shiva holds almost all the powers of Lord Vishnu, and he is also above the qualities of the living entity, but he is not exactly like Vishnu, just as yogurt, although transformed milk, is not exactly like milk. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is also described herein as Vasudevaya Krishnaya. Krishna is the original Supreme Personality of Godhead, and all Vishnu expansions are his plenary portions, or portions of his plenary portions, known as Swamsha and Kala. The Swamsha, or direct expansions, are called, expansion is also called Ansha. All Vishnu tattvas are Swamsha, direct parts and parcels of the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna. Krishna is known as Vasudeva because he appeared in this material world as the son of Vasudeva. Similarly, he is known as Devaki Nandana, Yashoda Nandana, Nandanandana, and so on. Again and again, the Lord is very much interested in increasing the influence of his devotees. Therefore, he is described herein as Prabhave Sarva Satvatam. The Satvata community is a community of Vaishnavas, pure devotees of the Lord. The Supreme Personality of Godhead has unlimited powers, and he wants to see that his devotees are also entrusted with unlimited powers. A devotee of the Lord is always, therefore, distinguished from all other living entities. The word, Hari, means one who takes away all material conditions. And Hari Medase means that the Lord is always planning ways to deliver the conditioned souls from the clutches of Maya. The Lord is so kind that he personally incarnates to deliver the conditioned souls, and whenever he comes, he makes his plans. Parichanaya sahunam vinashaya chadushkritam dharma sangstapanarthaya sambhavami yuge yuge. To deliver the pious and to annihilate the miscreants, as well as to reestablish the principles of religion, I invent myself, millennium after millennium, Bhagavad Gita, 4th chapter, text 8. Since the Lord delivers all conditioned souls from the clutches of Maya, he is known as Hari Medas. In the list of incarnations, Krishna is described as the supreme and original personality of Godhead. Ete Changsha Kalakpum Sa. Krishnas, tu Bhagavan Swayam Indrari Yakunam Lokam Vidyanti Yuge Yuge. Bhagavatam, 1st Canto, 3rd Chapter, Text 28. Krishna, the original personality of Godhead, appears in this material world when the demigods who are devotees of the Lord are disturbed by the demons. Namo Vishuddha Sattvaya Hariye Harime Dase Vasudevaya Krishnaya Prabhave Sarva Sattvatam. So Om Ganat Madandasha Gudanjana Shlakaya Chakshur Miditam Yenatasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. So as we were speaking yesterday, this is what's being described here is Sambandha Gyan. Sambandha means the ontological position of the Lord and the relationship of the Lord to the material energy, the relationship of the Lord to living entities, the relationship of the material energy to the living entities. Anyway, all these different sambandhas or connections. So, many people are confused, especially in India, about who is God. In fact, if you go into a temple, like a Hindu temple, they'll say, the gods. Or even when they come into our temple, they say, oh, there is the God, like there are many gods. And of course, we are not polytheists. A polytheist means someone who believes in many gods. And we're accused of that by even the Westerners when they see all these various incarnations of the Lord, like Lord Narsingha, Lord Varaha. What to speak if they understood that the Lord has as many incarnations as there are species of life. He incarnates in every species of life. That's pretty interesting. I mean, if you think about it, you know, Krishna has a tiger incarnation, every insect incarnation. I mean, if you see, for example, a little cockroach running across the floor and he has a peacock feather, don't try to kill him, he may be God. So, I mean, that's... That's pretty interesting. I mean, each and every species of life. Prabhupada says that that's because Krishna, like it's described here, Hari made us it. He's making plans how to liberate the conditioned souls and even wants to give the little cockroaches his association. That's compassion. That's real compassion. You know, every species of life, like waves of the ocean, unlimited incarnations. But it's not that we think that there are many gods. Advaita, Chuta, Nadi, Rananta, Rupam, Adyam, Puranam, Purusham, Navayoganam, Cha. They're all the same person. And that's hard, really hard for us or anyone to conceive that all these different incarnations that may appear simultaneously, that means at the same time, they're all the same person and acting differently. And so it's inconceivable. It's a chincha. Like even the yogis, sometimes they can have like 9 expansions. And they're like, Prabhupada describes like television expansions. They all do the same thing. You know, like if you go into a store that sells televisions and they're on the same channel, you know, they're displaying the images on the same channel, it's all the same image. It's not something different than in one place, one character in a TV serial is doing something and another character in the same TV serial is doing something else. Of course, there's many channels. So this is Krishna's inconceivable nature that he's doing that. And so, anyway, so people, especially the Hindus, they don't understand. Actually, there's no such thing as Hinduism. We get asked that question sometimes when we're giving a college lecture. They say, you know, are you Hindus? And Jai Shri Shri Panchatattva Panchatattva Ki Jai. And then, of course, we respond that we don't know what Hinduism is. Because Hinduism is a term that was used to refer to people who lived, it was a geographical term, used to refer to people who lived in India by the people on the other side of the mountains there, you know, the Hindu Kush mountains. So basically, there's no such thing as Hinduism. But basically, people ask that question, you know, about Hinduism, are you Hindus? And of course, we say, no, we're Vaishnavas, we believe in one supreme personality of God. So the people, some people who call themselves Hindus don't understand which one is the supreme personality of God, and therefore they say the gods. So this discussion is not only going on the earth planet, but it's actually gone on higher planets too amongst the sages. There's that story in the Krishna book, which is the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, how the sages were having this big discussion about who's the supreme personality of God. Who is situated in Vishuddha Sattva? Because this word Vishuddha Sattvaya is mentioned here. Vishuddha Sattva means transcendental to the modes of nature in the purified goodness, not material goodness. In other words, someone who doesn't need anything from the material world. Someone who is Swarat, as described in the Bhagavatam about Krishna. Swarat means he's independent. In other words, he doesn't need anyone or anything to be happy. Krishna and his incarnations are the only independent entities. We need other people. We're dependent on the demigods. We're dependent on the electricity here. I mean, so many things we're dependent on society and in the higher entities in the universe. But Krishna's Swarat, that's what it means to be in Vishuddha Sattva. Another word for Swarat is Aptakama. That means all your desires are fulfilled just by wanting them. A perverted reflection of that is this one philosophy that came out a number of years ago based on a book called The Secret. I don't know if any of you read that or heard about it. And the philosophy was, based on that book, that if you want something enough, the universe will serve you and give it to you. I wish it was true, because I wanted a hell of a lot of things, and the universe has not come through yet. You know, you want a new computer, you know, universe, 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 new computer. It doesn't work like that. And in the movie that was made from the book, they depicted people like, let's say, one boy wanted a bicycle and he was just meditating all day long instead of on Krishna. He's meditating on the bicycle. driving the bicycle. And then he woke up the next morning, the bicycle was outside of his door. And then another man wanted a sports car, so he was sitting in his chair in his living room, making believe he was shifting the gears on the sports car. And then he went outside to discover the sports car. I mean, this New Age philosophy is a bunch of hogwash, a bunch of nonsense. But it's actually people trying to emulate God, who is Optikama. Because if God wants a sports car, because it doesn't, but can you imagine a Christian driving that sports car? There was actually a stupid movie in India called Oh My God a number of years ago. And Krishna was driving a motorcycle. You ever see that movie? It's actually stupid, you know. Devotees wanted me to see it. They thought, oh, this is real Krishna conscious. Any excuse to watch something mundane. Be engaged in Krishna service. And he was using his the keys for the motorcycle as his Sudarshan chakra. Can you imagine that? I mean, it was stupid film. And it was very popular. The devotees actually in Pune did a take on that. Yeah, they did a take on that. They did a funny video on their Sunday feast. It's on the internet. It's in Hindi if you understand Hindi, but it's very interesting, very funny how they did a take. That means they made fun of that particular movie. So it's not that whatever you want, you get. Actually, if you have good karma, you may get it for some time, and then when your karma runs out, you lose it. So there's a little bit of truth to that. If you really want something and you have good karma, just like if I really want a nice computer and I have money, I can get it. But I need the good. I need the money. Money is karma. You know, in this particular metaphor, money is karma. So then I can get it at that point. But if I don't have the money, and I can stand outside of the computer shop just lusting after the computer, see what my desires are. At least it's not breaking the principles. Anyway, Anyway, the philosophy is nonsense, but it's people are trying to imitate God. Ishwaraham Ahambogi Siddham Balavan Sukhi, as Bhagavad Gita says. You know, but Krishna is like that. If whatever he wants, his energies are first class servants, so he gets it immediately. He doesn't even have to ask for it. Like Prabhupada said, a first class servant serves the master without the master asking. Second class does it when the master asks. Third class does it, but he's not happy serving the master. He's making faces. He said, Guru Dave, here it is. Here's your prasadam. And I know a lot about those servants. Anyway. And Prabhupada said, 10th class doesn't do what the master asks for at all. So I know a lot about 3rd and 10th. I have no experience of 1st class at all. So anyway, so... But, for example, Rupa Goswami, he was a first-class servant of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, because we have that verse, what, Sri Chaitanya Manobishtam, Stapitam Yena Bhutala. He understands the mind of Lord Chaitanya, Manobishtam. And therefore he's our founder Acharya of our Sampradaya. You know, the whole this branch of the Sampradaya, we're called Rupa Nugas. So anyway, so that's why Krishna is independent, whatever he wants. He doesn't worry about whether people like him or people don't like him. Whereas we're worried about all these things. You know, someone said to me the other day that, you know, on the internet... Oh, I'll give you this example. It's actually a funny example. There's one magazine published that criticizes devotees in the Hare Krishna movement, and they named that magazine Back to Prabhupada. Maybe you heard of that magazine. And they, you know, any devotee who's taken the position of guru, not any devotee, but the most prominent devotees, they actually... criticize. And I was getting very upset that they weren't criticizing me. I said, why? Aren't I prominent? You know, me, you know. I was going to write him a letter complaining. Letters to the editor. complaining, you know, hey, write something about me, criticize me. Because I want to be prominent too. I want to be one of the big guys. So, but Krishna, and so sometimes we get bothered when people criticize us. But Krishna does not bother. And so that's all Vishuddhasattva, because he's Aptakama, he's self-satisfied, he's Atmarama. And of course, pure devotees are also Atmarama. They're self-satisfied. So let's go back to the point that in the higher planets they were actually discussing who's God. Even they were Hindus in the higher planets. They were thinking, you know, who's the Supreme Personality of Godhead? And so they asked for one sage. We told part of this story yesterday. His name was Bhriga Muni. He said, why don't you test Brahma, Vishnu, and Shiva to see which one is God? It's like sometimes I say you should test the guru to see if he's on the Brahma-Buddha platform. You stick a pin in him. If he feels pain, he's not on the spiritual platform. He's absorbed in his body. And of course, if he is bona fide, you just committed a horrible Vaishnava aparada, and you're probably going to go to hell. You know, people, you know, part of the disciple course, you know, I joke, you have to test the guru. They don't like it when I deviate from the curriculum. They get very angry. You've deviated from the curriculum of the disciple course, given your own opinion. Anyway, so... But when you're a professor, you have that right. So, anyway, the point is that this sage, he wanted, you know, he was designated or delegated to test the different demigods, Brahma, Vishnu, Shiva. So he goes, and he goes to Lord Brahma, who happens to be his father. And in the Vedic culture, you're supposed to respect your father. Modern culture, you don't. You just say, hey, dad, you know, or even call him by his first name. Hey, Joe. Isn't it? In America, it's like that, you know, the parent. You call a parent, mother and father. Hey, Sally, where's dinner? You know, they become your servants. But in the Vedic culture, you actually have some hierarchy there where you respect your elders, you respect, you know, people in a higher position. And so he goes to Lord Brahma and he doesn't even pay obeisances. And Lord Brahma gets angry, but he controls his anger. I mean, Lord Brahma sometimes does get angry, like when he asked the four Kumaras to get married. And they said, no, Dad. And the different Rudras appeared. 11 different Rudras appeared from Lord Brahma. And they threatened to destroy the universe. And the only way to pacify them was to get them married. Sometimes that pacifies an angry person. Got them married to 11 Rudranis. This is a story from the Bhagavatam. So, anyway. So Lord Brahma, he got angry, but he controlled it. And then he said, well, Lord Brahma, I guess he's not in Vishuddhasattva. Then he went to Lord Shiva. And Lord Shiva was his brother, because they're both from Lord Brahma, born. And Lord Shiva said, brother, my dear brother, please give me a hug. And Bhriga Muni, he said, yuck! You are covered by ashes. You hang out with all these ghosts and goblins. You low-class person. And Lord Shiva was getting extremely angry because Lord Shiva is Ashutosh. Ashutosh means he's very easily pleased and easily angered. And so you got to be real careful around him. And so anyway, Lord Shiva got angry. He's getting ready to kill Bhriga Muni. And then Lord Shiva's wife, Parvati, said, you know, it's not a good idea to kill your brother. Please calm down. So he calmed down a little bit. And so then Bhriga Muni understood, he is not God. He is not in Vishuddhasattva. So then he went to Lord Vishnu. He saw Lord Vishnu, and Lakshmi was massaging Lord Vishnu's feet. And he kicked him in the chest. And Lord Vishnu smiled. And he said, please forgive me for having a hard chest. If I hurt your foot, you know, please accept my humble apologies for this thing. And Brigham Muni said, well, he's God. He's self-satisfied on the transcendental platform. Yeah, he's the supreme personality of Godhead. And so Lakshmi, of course, didn't like it. The point is that you, if you're on the transcendental platform, you can actually accept, like someone does something, insults you, and you just pray for their welfare. That's actually a sign of a great devotee. But if they do that to another devotee, you don't just like say, well, that was a transcendental pastime. Like if someone walks up to any other devotee, not just your guru, and he kicks him on the chest, and the guru says, well, it's just Krishna's arrangement to teach me I'm not the body. It's not that you should remain peaceful. You should get angry at that point. And that's the time a devotee gets angry. When Krishna or his devotees are offended. I mean, sometimes people would criticize Prabhupada for getting angry at Mayavadis or Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Even Prabhupada said some of Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur's disciples, they criticized their guru for the cutting technique. And Prabhupada said they fell down because of that. So, you know, anger is appropriate, not when you are getting attacked. That's actually a test of your Vishuddha Sattva platform. That if someone's attacking you, blaspheming you, like Haridas Thakur, Haridas Thakur was praying for the welfare of the people who were whipping him in 22 marketplaces. I mean, that's a Vaishnava. But it's not that you should just sit by and watch Haridas Thakur getting whipped and say, well, this is an amazing pastime. Haridas, show us more of this. You know, come. You should have gone, and if you were there, you should just try to save Haridas Thakur from this whipping. So, anyway, so therefore we know, actually there's more to the story about Lakshmi and Vishnu, which I'm not going to tell right away today. We told the story last night, how Lakshmi got so angry that she left Vishnu at that point, and Vishnu had to come down to the earth to look for her, but that's another pastime. So the point is that Krishna's on that transcendental platform, and he's always thinking on how to take away the devotee's miserable conditions. But when he's taking away the devotee's miserable conditions, sometimes it gives them a little bit more misery to take away their material conditions. Just like Yashyaha Manugrinami Harishe Tandanamshanai. That's a famous verse Prabhupada would quote. That when I especially favor someone, I take away everything so, you know, their friends, relatives, and everybody rejects them, so all they can do is like be absorbed in Krishna's name. Just like the example I've given sometimes is that if you have a miserable condition, let's say you have a toothache, sometimes there needs to be another miserable condition, which is called the dentist. Isn't it? To save you from further pain. I mean, basically, very few people like going to the dentist. There's one devotee I was talking to yesterday who said that she doesn't even use pain reliever when she goes to the dentist. Or Novocaine. I said, wow, you are really a pure devotee here. And she said, well, actually, I just don't like needles. So Krishna does these things to bring devotees closer to him. So the question arises, in my mind, how to get closer to Krishna without having Krishna doing those things to you? You know, because there's two ways of learning. One is Shastra and the other one is Shastra. A Shastra means, you know, the injunction, the Shastra, the scriptures. And the other one is the stick. So I'd like to avoid the stick. I really want that, you know, have that intention in my mind to not be hit, be smashed by Krishna all the time. So, because actually whatever happens to a devotee happens because of Krishna's arrangement. I mean, unless it's our own foolishness. Like Prabhupada gave the example that when the devotees died in a car accident because they fell asleep driving the car, one devotee said it was Krishna's mercy. Prabhupada said, no, it was their stupidity or foolishness. So, you know, if we're foolish, don't say, well, that was Krishna's arrangement to detach me. No, it's you are an idiot. That's the point. So we have to distinguish the two. But there's things outside of our control that happen generally. So how to get purified really quickly? That was the question Prem asked yesterday. You know, how come, you know, some people really have a taste, get purified real quickly, and other people, they just like drag on year after year after year. You know, 16 rounds, what do I get? Another day older, deeper in debt. You know that? The song in the United States, where the slaves used to chant that song. 16 pounds, what do I get? Another day older, deeper in debt. St. Peter, don't call me. You know, anyways. So, what's that? Yeah, old memories, which are actually more there in my mind than Krishna consciousness somehow or other. So, you know, how to get this taste so we can advance in devotional service, be humble so that we don't have to get smashed. This is a very easy method. It's a very easy methodology. Lord Chaitanya gives it to us because in the Shikshastika, he talks about having a taste. Being able to chant always, he says, Amani na manadena. And it's interesting. Trinadapi sunechena tarara eva sihushna. Actually, it's two ways of translating out Sanskrit word. Tora eva, tarara api. But I think Prabhupada gives both at different times. So, manina manadena kirtiniya siddhari. He says, the way to become humble, because actually all this smashing is just to make you humble anyway, is to be... The way to become humble is manadena. That means basically offering respects to others means serving others. Serving the Vaishnavas. And I've been talking a lot about this topic lately and I wanted to talk about it here because of the last class I'm giving here. What does it mean to serve the Vaishnavas? Because generally we think that I'm a servant of my spiritual master and I'm serving my spiritual master, which is a nice thought. But if you're just thinking like that, it's something like being a Kanishtha Adhikari, that I'm just serving Krishna. You know, Krishna's on the altar, my spiritual master's on the Vyasa-san, and all you rest of people, you're just a bunch of conditioned souls. Get out of my way. You're interfering with my service and my bhakti. So generally that's our conception. You puny little brahmachari, or I'm a sannyasi. And I couldn't be prouder. And if you don't like it, I'm going to chant a little louder. So, generally we think like that. But the point is, amanadena, to actually offer respect to everyone. You know, actually, Lord Chaitanya talks about two aspects of devotional service that he considers essential, which are, you know, jivadoya and namaruchi. But they're very much connected. Jivadoya means compassion for the jivas. It doesn't mean compassion just for the people outside, but for compassion for the devotees. You know, we go outside and we're so compassionate. Oh, poor jiva souls, here's a book. And then with the other devotees, it's, you know, you jerk. You know, and then another devotee goes to the hospital, well, that's their karma, you know, they're getting purified. You know that in the Krishna consciousness movement, purification is an excuse for any sort of thing. You know, if someone feeds you too many chili peppers and you have diarrhea, you're getting purified. Isn't that, I mean, purification. So if a devotee goes in the hospital, gets sick, we don't visit them because, you know, that's their purification. And even if we visit them, we preach to them how they're not the body, you know, they're, which is really appreciated when you're in the hospital and, you know, you're in pain. Oh, I'm in pain. You're not your body, Prabhu. You have to be transcendental to the modes of nature. Just like Madhavendra Puri's disciple, Ramchandra Puri advised him in that way, right? Ramchandra Puri wasn't feeling pain. I mean, Madhavendra Puri wasn't feeling pain. He was feeling separation from Krishna. And he was exhibiting, you know, the ecstasy. And his disciples started to preach to him. Be on the Brahma-Bhuta platform, Gurudev. You're not Brahma-Bhuta-Prasanatma. So, of course, that disciple was kicked away. So, we have to... develop an attitude towards all the Vaishnavas that we're servants of everyone. all the other Vaishnavas, actually servants of everyone, but especially the Vaishnavas. And this reminds me of one story in the Chaitanya Charitamrita of this devotee, Kalidas, who served all the Vaishnavas in Navadvipa, in fact took the remnants of prasadam of every Vaishnava in Navadvipa. He would go around and offer every Vaishnava, even people from the low, low, low caste. And imagine, India, they're really caste conscious. You know, it's not like in the West, we're all one, kumbaya and everything like that. We're actually, we're all one, you know, one family. Like you see, go to, anyway, I won't tell you where. But it's just too mundane. But in India, they're really caste conscious. You know, you have your bungies, you know, clean up the sewers, and then you have your Brahmins and everything like that. And so in Lord Chaitanya's day, even if someone in a lower caste stepped on your shadow, I mean, he could be killed, basically, like that. It was so intense, the caste consciousness. You certainly didn't touch someone of a higher caste. So this devotee, Kalidas, he would take the prasadam remnants of even the low, low class people, especially there was one person mentioned in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Jadu Thakur. He gave him mangoes, he and his wife mangoes, and he waited outside the house until they threw the mango skin in the pits away, and he just sucked on them. I mean, such faith in the Vaishnavas. That's not only Vaishnava Seva, but Vaishnava Shraddha, having faith in the Vaishnavas. And as a result of that, he got a benediction that nobody else ever got. He got to drink Lord Chaitanya's foot bathing water when Lord Chaitanya bathed his feet entering the Singha Dwara Gate of the Jagannath Temple. And Lord Chaitanya let him do it once or twice, and then he stopped him. Whereas previously, there was a devotee in the Gundicha Temple who tried to do it, and Lord Chaitanya was extremely angry with him. He kicked him out. He said, Tidasrup Damodar goes on, look what you Bengali Vaishnava is done. So, you know, so by serving all the Vaishnavas, he got that benediction. So if we take up that mood, and actually, there's another story I want to tell about Srivas Thakur. Srivas Thakur had a tailor, that means one who makes clothes, who was serving him, and this tailor was a meat eater. And this tailor got pure devotional service from Lord Chaitanya because he was serving Srivas Thakur, even though he's a meat eater. I mean, just see how important. I'm not saying you can eat meat and serve the Vaishnavas. That's not the message from this class. But, you know, eat meat, have illicit sex, you know, go to the bars, you know, just during the day, serve the Vaishnavas. So, but he got pure devotional service simply by serving Srivas Thakur. Even though he didn't follow any regular principles, probably didn't chant his rounds or anything like that. And so many stories like that. And I want to tell you a personal story that illustrates that particular fact. Of course, I don't have pure devotional service, but it illustrates how you get a taste for Krishna consciousness and you advance in Krishna consciousness by serving the Vaishnavas. Recently, I was in Sridhar Mayapur attending the ecstatic GBC meetings. shivering in ecstasy. And actually, there was one thing I did there that was the most ecstatic thing. And it wasn't the GBC meetings. And it even really wasn't going to the temple and seeing the deities, which is pretty ecstatic, which is ecstatic. But it was serving a very simple devotee there. There was this devotee who was getting ready to leave her body. Her name was Mana Rupa. And she's the wife of a devotee I know, Pallad Nrisimha, but a very simple, humble devotee, actually pure devotee. I can say that from seeing her, how she left her body and everything like that. And so I decided in the middle of the meeting when I was doing all these other things to take an hour out every day to read to her from the Chaitanya Charitamrita and also from Krishna book. And, you know, by doing that, I experienced so much of a taste for hearing and chanting. I mean, it was amazing. That I've never experienced even in the temple room. And I'm not saying you shouldn't go to the temple. But it was just an amazing experience. And of course she and her husband were thanking me and I was thanking them for letting me have that service. So we should be so thankful for the opportunity to serve Vaishnavas. And because we're surrounded by Vaishnavas, we have that opportunity on a daily basis. And especially when a Vaishnava is in a situation where they need help. I mean, this will attract or keep the devotees in the movement and attract others to join our movement. Because people join movements nowadays, not so much because of philosophy, you can preach till you're blue in the face, but because of loving exchanges. Recently there was a seminar on Western preaching given in Chicago. Maybe you heard about that. But Ramapad Maharaj arranged it. And one of the conclusions was that, you know, they have these different programs, Krishna Lounge, and we have Krishna West, which we're not allowed to mention in class. So Krishna Lounge and all these other programs in the United States, and a devotee from Toronto was talking. And she was talking about how if you follow up with people and you bring them prasadam, you know, loving exchanges and service and like that, they become devotees. And she was talking about one person who she called on the phone, and the person said, if this is an organized religion, or any religion, I don't want anything to do with it. And of course, ISKCON's not an organized religion, but that's another subject. Except for here in Slovenia. Ananta's organized thing. This is the only organized branch of ISKCON that I've ever seen. If you go to Mayapur, it's definitely not organized. Anyway, so this woman was saying, I don't want anything to do with this. You know. And so, but then she kept bringing her prasadam every day and loving exchanges and everything like that. And now this lady who's, you know, educated, like, I think she's a lawyer or something like that, is living in the temple as a brahmacharini, uninitiated. Huh? Here is someone who didn't believe in God, didn't want religion, was angry if someone from a religion was calling them. But because of the loving exchanges that she experienced, and also the loving exchanges she saw in the temple, then she joined the Krishna conscious movement. And now they're making tons of Western devotees in Toronto. This is Toronto, Canada. And in America, we have a problem making Western devotees because it's primarily people from India. Because India, I mean, it's easy to preach to someone from India. You just say, you know, chant Hare Krishna, is prasadam. And he's the Bhagavad Gita, okay. And sometimes that's called low-hanging fruit. You know, it's very easy. And there's money, too. Whereas the Westerners, you don't have so much money. Like, if I go around and ask all of you, you know, some people from Macedonia, they're struggling to make buy of 5 euros a month. So you have these wealthy Indian people. So now, due to these programs, but the essence of the program, the really essence of the program is actually devotional dadati pratigranati guyam akyati prichati bhunte bhojate charva. You know, the loving exchanges. And so we should do that with ourselves, we should do that with others, we'll get a taste for the holy name, we'll become detached from the material world. All good things come from this. And then ultimately we'll become devotees by the blessings of the other devotees. Just like I was saying to Manarupa before she left her body, I said, you're going to see Krishna pretty soon. You know, I have a message for him. You know, like if someone's going to go see someone else, you always give them a message. I said, I have a message for Krishna. Tell him I'm here. Of course, he knows I'm here. But yeah, just a reminder, you know, I'm here. I'm suffering. I want to become Krishna conscious. You know, please convey that to the Supreme Personality of Godhead and Srimati Radharani. And she said, okay, I'll do that. And right now, I know that message has probably been conveyed, and, you know, I feel pretty good about it. So, anyway, so that's the secret. That's the secret of preaching. That's the secret. I mean, just like when I joined the movement, I joined the movement because the preaching center I joined in Gainesville, Florida, was like a family situation. I was telling the devotees last night that even the temple president, it wasn't like an authority situation. It was Sri Dainanda Maharaj, who was married at that time, Sri Dainanda Das Adhikari, at that time. 71, yeah. And so, he's married to a very nice lady. So the brahmacharis one day got together, and we learned one Vaishnav song, amongst many. You know, Hare Haraye Nama Krishna Yadavaya Nama. And we all went down to the room where this couple was staying and serenaded them with a song. You know, it was just like, it was such a sweet relationship. that we had between the devotees. And so, and that's really what we want. Of course, we're much bigger now, but the same family mood that many of us are lamenting is not no longer there, can still be inculcated, can still be developed amongst the devotees. And then, who will not want to join the movement? And we have perfect philosophy, you know, prasadam, a perfect lifestyle, healthy and loving relationships. That's what people are looking for. I mean, you give them everything, a complete package. Okay, on that happy note, we don't want to go on too long because we have things going on today. So any questions or comments? Maharaj, you want to see? Or, yeah, David Bratta.
Yesterday you were talking about oxymorons. And,
yeah.
I just remembered that when another devotee was talking to the training thing, how one of the reasons why sometimes in a movement or in a yatra relationship are not going well between devotees is because they are still on the Kanishtha Dikari level. So I was thinking then also Kanishtha Dikari and the loving relationship.
Let me address that. That's an excuse. I don't like excuses. That you know, we have bad relationships because we're on the Kanishtha Adhikari level. I hate excuses. That's denial of responsibility. You have bad relationships because you're not thinking of what will please the spiritual master. You're not thinking of what will please Krishna. Forget about being on the Kanishtha Adhikari platform. I mean, I find this like, you know, why are you in Maya? Because I'm a neophyte. Huh? Why are you smoking cigarettes? Because I'm addicted. You know, you have all these excuses for any... This is modern psychology. Why are you so crazy? Because I'm paranoid. You know, you have all these designations, and then they're using it as a big excuse for not surrendering to Krishna, isn't it? I mean, I hate that stuff. So, I was just reading, actually, in this nice book that I've been recommending to the devotees. It's a biography of Jamuna Devi. And in the Calcutta temple, at one point, the devotees' relationship became really bad. Jamuna talks about that. It's in the first volume. And the Prabhupada had to come. And then Prabhupada, instead of saying, well, you're just all neophytes, I understand what's happening, Prabhupada talked about it, his own austerities. This is what Prabhupada said. You know, I had to tolerate so many things, Prabhupada was talking. And he revealed to the devotees how he was having constant ringing in the ears, you know, like a hammer or something, and then heart pain. And all the devotees became embarrassed because they were just so petty like that. And they resolved to have good relationships. I mean, so you know, that happened in the beginning days of the movement, and Prabhupada had to rectify it. That was one of the original istagostis. And Prabhupada said the leaders should meet together and discuss unity and diversity. Prabhupada said that was one of the main purposes of the GBC meeting, was unity and diversity. How people have different opinions. And we do have different opinions. We're all individuals. Like we have this one issue, you know, the female Diksha Guru issue. And you know, everybody knows my opinion. I'll get killed if I speak about it in class anyway. You know, I think ladies should be allowed to be gurus. Why not, if they're qualified? But we have a scarcity of gurus. And we need millions, billions of gurus. So, and also we should be in touch with Western society if we know. If we're, anyway, that's, I don't want to start talking about that. So... So we have to give up this excuse making and really think of what would please Krishna and what would please our spiritual master, and have some love for each other. Why not? I mean, you're all spirit souls. You all have Krishna in your hearts, right? When I last checked, Krishna was there. You know. Or Sitan Ram or something like that, and Hanuman. They're still there. So, I mean, Krishna's in your heart. That's why we offer obeisances, because the super soul's in your heart. Anyway, so don't make any more excuses up. We're Kanishtha Adhikaris. Utama Adhikari is we see everybody as a devotee. That's another excuse. Anyway, so yeah, Prema.
I have another question. You said that a devotee doesn't defend himself when he's attacked, but the other devotees shouldn't just...
Yeah, sit back and watch.
Sit back, but should defend him.
Yeah.
So I would like to know what to do in situations which are a little more... maybe a little more difficult. For example, if somebody blasphemes devotee like on internet, Facebook or some web page, like you said, what are the practical steps?
The practical step is ignore it in most cases, because in the internet things get where they spiral out of control. Anytime you try to defend someone, there'll be more blasphemy. So that's, you know, I don't respond to anything nowadays. I used to respond to things, and then it just gets worse and worse on the internet. It just, or email. I just, you know, you just turn off the computer or whatever, or unfriend the person. You understand unfriend? That's a Facebook term. It's amazing how many new words we have in our vocabulary. If you, when you want to look for something, you just say Google it. You know, that's become a modern term. You know, Google it. So yeah, sometimes it's just best to ignore. But the injunction is, if someone's blasphemed, you defend them, defeat the person who's blaspheming, cut their tongue out, or go away, leave the situation. So usually, leave the situation is the preferable way to deal with things.
And in another situation, which also happens quite often, that somebody starts spreading rumors about some devotee, for example, how to defend such rumors?
Well, it depends. On the internet, usually, you just like ignore it.
Not on the internet, just like by talking.
Well, then you preach to them about Krishna's verse in the Gita where he says, "Satcha Prihi Tam." You should speak pleasingly, beneficially, and truthfully. And that's, Krishna says, those are the austerities of speech. And unless you can help someone, why speak negatively about them? Unless there's something to be gained for helping the person. But otherwise, it's just like prajalpa. And it's offensive to the devotees. You know, if you offend a devotee, then you lose your taste for hearing and chanting. There's no use. I mean, it's just prajalpa. I say, are you helping anyone? And if you have some suggestion to someone, go to them directly. And tell them directly, but just don't talk behind their backs. So, I mean, there's different ways to deal with it. I mean, if there's some rumor that, you know, let's say there's someone made the rumor that I went to the bar last night and got drunk, then... you know, how do you deal with such a thing like that? Then you just say, well, I saw he was in his room all night long. Sometimes people get so paranoid, they want sannyasis to have someone with them checking on them 24 hours a day. You know, there was one proposal by the GBC that every sannyasi, you know, someone said to me, actually, it was in Australia, someone said to me, Maharaj, you have to keep someone with you 24 hours just to make sure you don't go off. I said, I'm an adult, you know. I mean, I don't want a camera in me, and, you know, put a camera in the bathroom, a camera in here.
Why don't you use that for everybody? Everybody goes off, right?
Yeah. But what I said to this devotee, this was a wealthy devotee, so I said to the devotee, that's a great idea. Will you pay for his plane fare? And he said, well, forget about that idea. I said, you know, some of us are not the high rollers, sannyasis. You know, the rich ones who can afford to pay for a servant, isn't it? I mean, that's expensive. Like, we travel around the world. It's not just peanuts to pay for it. So, you know, imagine paying for two people to travel around the world. And then I find that if someone travels with me, I have to take care of them. I mean, it's just like, it's twice. They lose their passport. They get sick. Oh my God, don't burden me.
They're not chanting their rounds.
I have to cook for them. I mean, it's really good. I go to Govardhan, I have one devotee from Croatia, some of you may know. I won't mention name. But he lives in Vrindavan, and he comes to join me at Govardhan. And he says, Gurudev, I'm going to cook for you. I said, you're not going to cook for me. I don't want to eat anything you cook. No, because he doesn't know how to cook. But and then I cook, and I cook. I said, I'm cooking for you, and you'll eat what I cook. So I cook very simple, of course. I like cooking. And he says, I'm a brahmachari. I need opulent food. I need sweets, Gurudev. And I said, you're with your guru. You'll eat what I cook, you rascal. So that's... I didn't say you're a rascal, but anyway. That's Gokulander. Anyway, so... some of you know him. He's a very nice devotee from Croatia. And so then he's learned to eat simply. But it's like that, you know, so... Anyway, so... what can you do if there's a rumor? I mean, people say so many things. I mean, like they did a whole... they tried to frame Srivas Thakur. There was Gopal Chapala, this envious devotee. He put ingredients for worshipping Durga outside of Srivas Thakur's door, like vermilion and everything like that. And Srivas Thakur woke up and he saw it in front of the door. And he said, look, everybody knows I'm worshipping Durga. You know, he didn't take it so seriously. But this person who committed that offense of making that up, he developed leprosy. And of course, Lord Chaitanya later forgave him. But first, Lord Chaitanya said to him, when he was going to Lord Chaitanya, he said, I curse you to be bitten by those same worms for millions of lifetimes. Remember that story? It's an interesting story. Chaitanya Charitamrita. But later on, he approached Srivas Thakur and was forgiven. So, anyway, there has to be a little trust in our movement that, you know, that we're behaving ourselves to a certain extent. You know, I haven't gone hang gliding yet. Even though I want to. Of course, not to the extent Srivas Thakur was tested. His faith in Lord Nityananda was tested. Lord Chaitanya said, why do you invite this Lord Nityananda to your house? Who knows where he's from? Who knows what he's doing, you know, this avaduta? And Srivas Thakur said, even if I see Lord Nityananda go into a liquor store, even if he marries a Muslim girl, I will not be deterred from my conviction that he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So we don't want to be that fine with devotees, but you know, at the same time, we have to have a little trust. You know, our movement is based on love and trust. So I think we have to end because I have to trust it's time to push. Okay, on that happy note, all glories to divine grace, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, Ki Jai, Gaur Premananda, Hari Hari Bol.